The Holy Gospel for Father's Day is found in the 5th chapter of Mark, beginning at the 21st verse. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and pleaded with him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And while he was still speaking, some people came from the synagogue leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the synagogue leader, "Do not be afraid, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the synagogue leader's house, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And you may be seated. Our Bible story for this morning tells us about a man by the name of Jairus. He was a religious man. He was ruler of a local synagogue, and he was also a father. And as ruler of the local synagogue, that means that he was one of the most prominent people in town. He was not a preacher or a teacher, but he was the one who was responsible for the Friday evening synagogue services. For example, this included keeping the sacred books, which were the sacred property of the community. He was also kind of like president of the congregation, administrative head of the city, and city manager. Every Friday evening, he would appoint someone to lead in the synagogue prayer services and someone to read the scriptures. And if there was a visiting rabbi, he would invite that person to read from the scriptures and comment on them. And that's the background of the account in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus went to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth and was invited to read scripture and read from Isaiah 61. It would have been the ruler of the synagogue who invited him to do that. In other words, Jairus was a man of a high social position. He was well known and well thought of among the people. He was a man of prestige and honor. But we read in our gospel lesson that he also was a man with a desperate human need, which only goes to show that you never go so high up in society that tragedy and sorrow can no longer touch you. This man's little girl, 12-year-old little girl, the apple of his eye, was dying. And so we come to the first three of three things that this girl saw in her father. This girl saw her father as a man who was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. Notice, he did not send his wife. He did not send a servant. Rather, he went himself looking for Jesus. You see, when men take on the role of father, they also need to take on the responsibilities of being a father, responsibilities that are given to them by their heavenly father. It's a father's responsibility to teach his children about God. Yet how many times have mothers and the church have to step in and take over because the fathers were not doing what the fathers should have been doing? And so fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, do you remember when you presented your children for holy baptism? Remember in the baptismal service, you are asked, if you promise to faithfully bring them to the services of God's house. And you were asked and you said that you would teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Creed. And you were asked and you said that as they grew in years, you would place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for their instruction in the Christian faith. And so fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, all of that is what you said you would do. Did you do it? Jairus did not send his wife. Jairus did not send someone else in his place. Rather, Jairus went himself, seeking the Lord. And then notice what he did when he found Jesus. In spite of his lofty, elevated social position, and in spite of the fact that all of these people were around and were watching him and would see what he would do, this man knelt humbly before Jesus and pleaded with Jesus, "Please come, for my little daughter is dying." And so fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, let your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren know that you have limitations. Let them know that there are many things that you can do, but there also are many things that you cannot do. And yet let them know that you have faith in the one who can do everything. That is the one whom you love and serve and worship. Let your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren know that you, like Jairus, call in the name of the Lord. And let them hear you calling on the name of the Lord, not just in church, but in every situation of life. Let them know that you are not ashamed of the gospel and you are not ashamed of the God of the gospel. Lead them to God and bring them to God and experience God with them. Show them that you are committed to your family, to your marriage, and to your God. Show them that you are a man who is not ashamed to seek out Jesus. And then second, Jairus' daughter saw her father as a man who was not ashamed to invite Jesus into his house. Now, you may ask, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, remember that there were many people in the religious world that considered Jesus to be a bad guy. He was a friend of sinners, a friend of tax collectors, a friend of drunks and low-life people. And the work that he was doing, they were convinced he was doing by the power of the devil. And so for a lot of people, that would be totally, absolutely unheard of to invite Jesus into their home. And fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, I'm sure that there are many people whom you know, you might even have some friends, who would simply never understand why in the world you would ever invite Jesus into your home. But what does our nation need more of? Our nation needs more Christians' homes where the fathers invite Jesus into the home. Christian homes where Jesus lives, where he's welcome, where he's not just a picture on the wall, but instead his presence is acknowledged, his name is honored, and his word is welcomed, read, and obeyed. Now think back with me to the first Passover in Egypt around 1300 BC. God was about to bring one last plague upon the Egyptians. And as a death angel was about to pass through and slay all of the firstborn of Egypt, the only safety that the children of Israel would have would be the blood of a lamb, blood that was placed on the doorposts. And it was the father who had the responsibility to take the lamb and apply the blood. The safety of the entire family depended upon the actions of the father. If the father would do what he was supposed to do and apply the blood to the doorpost, then the entire family would be spared from death and tragedy. But if the father failed to do his duty, if the father did not apply the blood, then the death angel would kill the firstborn. And we look at our nation today and we realize that there is a death angel that is passing through our country right now. There is a death angel that is coming through drugs and the internet and the media. There is a death angel that is coming through some of your children's, grandchildren's, and great-grandchildren's friends and acquaintances. There's a death angel that's coming through some of the things that they hear, some of the things that they see on social media. There's a death angel that is coming to kill and steal and destroy. And I personally have been so deeply encouraged as I see and hear and read about parents who are concerned about what their children are being taught in school. And so they attend and stand up at school board meetings and have stood up to school board members and have replaced them. Yes, like it was in Egypt on the night of the first Passover, there is a death angel that is passing through our country with the purpose of stealing, killing, and destroying. The death angel will steal your children's, grandchildren's, and great-grandchildren's sense of self-worth and self-confidence, destroy their confidence and trust in who they are and what God made them to be, will steal and destroy their sense of dignity, will kill their soul and heart and mind. What do fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers need to do? They need to put the death angel on notice. Tell the death angel that the only way that it'll be able to get to your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren is through you, and that you will fight it off with everything that you've got. You're not just willing to sit back and do nothing and let the death angel wreak havoc in your family. And so fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, take the blood of Jesus. And in your prayer, apply the blood of Jesus to the lives of your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Stand with Joshua, who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so to get back now to our Bible story for this morning. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when Jesus entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, Peter, James, and John, and went in where the child was. Now notice something. Notice that when Jesus entered into Jairus' house, Jesus exercised authority in that house. Jesus was the one who made the decision over who was going to be inside and then told all the others to go outside. And so fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, do you give Jesus that kind of authority in your home? Do you allow Jesus to bring in who and what he desires and to remove who or what doesn't belong? And so that tells me that a responsibility of fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers is to ask God to show me if there's anything in my home that hinders the work of God. Is there anything that stands in the way of my and my family's relationship with God? If it is, show me what it is and help me to get rid of it. And so the first thing that Jairus' daughter saw in her father was he was a man who was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. Second, she saw her father as a man who was not ashamed to invite Jesus into his house. And then third, she saw her father as a man who was not embarrassed to express his love for his daughter. What was it that took this man from his daughter's side in order to seek out a traveling Jewish teacher? What was it that compelled him, in spite of his high social standing and the fact that other people were watching, to fall down at Jesus' feet and cry out to him, "My little daughter's at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live"? What would cause this man of dignity to forget his place in society and ignore what others might think and say? What was it? It was love. He loved his daughter so much, And this love would lead him to do whatever he needed to do and to go wherever he needed to go in order to see his daughter be made well and whole. Now, we don't know how long this little girl lived. She was 12 years old at the time. The Bible doesn't tell us how long she lived. But one thing we can be sure of, and that is this, that there is not one day that went by that she did not know that she was alive because of her daddy's love for her. Maybe she grew up to have her own children. How many times do you think her own children heard the story of how their grandpa had sought out a man? Their grandpa had been willing to put his reputation on the line, and their mother had been brought back to life because of their grandpa's love for their mother. Her being alive was because of the love of their grandpa and because of the power and love and compassion of God. And so fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, love is not giving your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren everything that they ask for. Love is not a closet full of toys or the latest video game or gadget or a large allowance. Rather, love is sitting them down and looking them straight in the eye and saying, in this house, we love Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We want to serve Jesus. Therefore, there are some things that will be allowed and some things will not be allowed. Some things we will do and some things we will not do. You will not always understand, you will not always agree, but that's the way it needs to be, because I love you. And so fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers, don't be ashamed to let your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren see you seeking the Lord. Don't be ashamed to let them see you inviting Jesus into your home. And don't be ashamed to let them see how much you love them. Amen.